Alright, time for another Google is Evil video presentation. Alright, trying to talk to other human beings. Not going very well. So many things in common, yet so many things that are different. Right? So it's almost like the whole race thing, among people, and little tiny differences, big differences for some reason. And, makes all of this very difficult because it's not about facts and logic and just documenting reality. It's about arguing through all kinds of bullshit. So anyway, I'm just going to argue from what seems a convincing model of reality. That there is no God, there is no magic, there's no willing power, there's just complexity in the universe, little chunks of it, little blobs of stuff that has acquired an arrangement through some process. I'd say the most common process, I guess, would be evolution. In terms of something over time being able to be changed by little tiny bits of change over time, blah, blah. But evolution as a word is sort of tied to the DNA molecule, a replicating molecule. So people really don't say chemistry evolves, but I guess I would argue that it does, and that, that's part of the story, is the evolution of chemistry. So the foundational statement, I guess the truth that I would start with, is that the only universe that really exists is a little tiny one where little tiny things are interacting. And they're interacting in really simple ways. So we're made of a bunch of really simple stuff, building blocks, if you want to call it that. Doing really simple things. I mean, they just, so mechanical, so precise, just as simple as, billiard balls or whatever, some sort of analogy, rolling dice, whatever you want to say. Very simple in terms of every mechanical process. Every event that happens is a relatively simple event. I mean, those aren't perfect examples just because everything about those things is just about what we perceive of the interaction. We don't see all the nuance of it because it's all happening on a very small scale, very minute and tiny from our big giant perspective. So as much as we seem very small compared to a sun or a galaxy, we're really giant compared to the universe that's actually running us. That's actually created us, that's actually we're a byproduct of, the function of. So I'd say, I make these arguments on the other channel, Draft Science, that, the small universe is made out of something really simple. It's just forces, stuff with force, stuff that has momentum, that's moving, and it's constantly moving. And then you have these pieces of matter, electrons and protons, that aren't doing anything. That just, basically, they have a function. That is, when they're hit with force, they react in certain ways, and they react inversely. That's why one's called plus and one's called minus. That's why one's a proton and one's an electron, is because they behave differently to the same interaction. Inversely would be an even better word, more precise. And with that simple mechanism, you can create these things called atoms. So you've probably heard of those. And the atoms are basically just a collection of the material bits and the force bits. So there's bits inside that have what's called energy. That is, they will go from here to there constantly. They're constantly going from here to there. And the only thing that slows them down is if they have to, they're stuck to a piece of matter and they have to push it. So you just have stuff going a constant speed, the speed of force, the speed of light, and you have matter that can be pushed around at some lesser speed. And that combination creates again, these atoms that are basically just like a chocolate chip cookie or something. They're a mixture of the force and the matter. And if you break it, you'll release the force, and the matter will, you know, separate. So the things called suns out in the universe are full of a very elemental form of cookie, you know, really simple arrangement of this electron and proton and the force stuck between them, interacting with them and burning that. That is, combining it into helium creates a little bit of extra force, spills out. So that's what's, you know, that's what suns are producing all of their little bits with. And the bottom line is that suns are producing this, and that ends up making this other chemistry. So you have 100 or so other atoms, you know, kinds of elemental substance, arrangement of electrons and protons. So they can be arranged, and they're arranged in different ways, and there's like 100 ways you can arrange them. Now, there's isotopes, so you can have a few more than 100 that are similar but different in some subtle way, blah blah. But anyway, all that is what's making us. So we're just made out of these little atoms that are combined into compounds. That is, you can mix, you know, the hydrogen with the oxygen with this. Well, the hydrogen with the oxygen is a good example, because you mix that stuff and you end up with this water crap. You know, we're very familiar with it because, you know, we sort of depend on it to function. And so then you just have a bunch of these, this elemental chemistry can end up, these little 100 things can be piled on top of each other into very complex molecules. So if you like, you read a medicine pill bottle or something, and the chemicals got like, you know, troxy, oxy, boxy, you know, all these stuff in it. You know, two of this and three of that and five of this and, you know. So you can make a ton of these different little compounds that have a shape, and they bang into other materials. And the fact is they do different things. They can strip stuff off. They can add stuff on. They can leave pieces of themselves behind. They can do all kinds of things based on the chemical reaction, the combination of one atom hitting another atom, and the force between them creating, you know, charge is the plus and minus part, you know, creating this inverse, you know, like magnetism, this inverse reaction that happens. So with that function, you know, you can make all of this complex chemistry. And eventually, in our case, there was a molecule created, just a chain. Okay, it, you know, it sequentially adds to itself, you know, becomes a longer and longer molecule if it's in the right conditions. And that's DNA. And, you know, this molecule under the right circumstances is copyable, because it does have this mechanism built in where it attaches, stuff attaches to it in you know, at the ends. And it becomes a longer and longer molecule. And in the process of making that molecule out of the same arrangements, you can create a code, you know, just a subtle turn difference. You know, the chemical is this way, and then the next chemical sticks this way, and the next chemical sticks that way. So just by combining the chemistry in a pattern, you can create a code on the molecule, essentially, that's, you know, a pattern. So the pattern you create by interaction can be duplicated, is stored as a signature, a footprint. And anyway, so that, through some more evolution, environmental control, so it's all happened, so the stars explode, the heavier material combines, makes planets. The planets, you know, are covered in all kinds of different chemistry. Little niches become, you know, you have an ocean, you have this, you have that, you have, you know, these places where the environment is consistent over time. And in those consistent environments, molecules can become very eccentric. And so the DNA did that. It eventually became part of a system of connected things. So it wasn't just floating around doing nothing. It ended up having a membrane. And then it became replicating in the function that it would also share its membrane, and so it would become a duplicating cell. And then those cells, eventually one of them got eaten by another cell, and you ended up having a nucleus inside of a cell. So you had two membranes to create even a more complex type of replicating cell. And so now it would transfer both mechanisms. The whole system would replicate as a unit, and the DNA would be copied, because there's other chemistry that does the function, and it's just by association, just by accidents of stuff hitting at the right time and sticking to create something new and different. And there's a lot of, a million little steps you have to go through to get to that part where you can actually replicate the molecule. But anyway, it's just chemistry. So no point in having all those details. It's just kind of, it makes sense. It makes sense to me. Gremlins and fairies and gods, that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't go anywhere, because where'd they evolve? I mean, there's no real source of complexity except some sort of evolution. The whole poofed intelligence is just not really... it's a non-starter, frankly. You just can't make anything of it. Intelligence is something that has to be acquired. You have to go to school, so to speak. You can't just have it. It doesn't make any sense, let alone having some sort of physical function, let alone being able to create matter and stuff. I mean, that's just too ridiculous. But other people have made those arguments. The fact that most of the human beings on Earth are okay with being completely ridiculous, thinking ridiculously, it's tragic. That's all you can say. I mean, it's just, wow. Hard to believe they could make that kind of mistake, that they could be that stupid, frankly. I mean, in terms of combining facts and applying logic, especially in the context of knowing how humans are horrible sources of information, in terms of their fake news all over the place, and to believe thousands of year old stories about adventures that little humans had. Come on, just it's like, you're that gullible, you're that dupable. So anyway, back to the story. So it's just this mechanical system. It's just robotic in that sense that it's just the elemental things are doing something really simple. So the electron and protons, all they know is, you hit me this way, I turn that way. Hit me that way, I turn this way. It's just, they're just right turning, left turning. They're making simple choices. And there really is no choice. Okay, it's just an obligation. It either hits this side of the scale or that side of the scale. It does this thing, and that's it. And that's what everything is made out of. So everything's a robot, essentially. Every piece of matter in the universe, there's no other choice but to be just a mechanism, just be a physical reactive thing, a thing that will do certain things if you hit it a certain way. And depending on what piece of you it hits and all of that. And it's just a mechanical reaction. And so as the universe creates all this crap, it condenses into these balls of mixtures. The mixtures mix, and you end up with new substances as a byproduct of the mixing. And when you have a replicating substance, okay, a substance that can control things, like how it reproduces. So that would be another stage in this process. Is what's a key ingredient to the creation of the complexity is the fact that the DNA molecule can copy itself, even, okay, wrong. It can do it deliberately, in the sense that it can be mechanically built into it to not duplicate itself identically, and instead make, say, a liver cell or a heart cell or some other kind of cell. They're all part of its capacity written in that code on the DNA molecule. So depending on how the molecule is read and the circumstances and the timing, the byproduct of cellular reproduction will be changes in the form of the cell. All right, so you can get to, it doesn't seem too hard to figure out why, okay, it became advantageous to the process for these molecules to, the ones that would succeed, okay, the ones that would proliferate would be the ones that could get as much out of the environment in terms of energy and material, okay, atoms, collecting the nutrients, the building blocks, and reshaping them and producing another copy of what they do. And the ones that would do that more successfully or quickly or efficiently would tend to be the ones that takes over in terms of being the structure that dominates, and the ones that aren't as good are going to find there'd be less resources because the other molecules have stolen them all and they starve to death. And that's basically evolution. Evolution is, basically reward very few, like a lottery, and punish, in some way, all the rest. Make them pay for it. it's not a very... it's not what you'd say, hey, this is the most efficient way to get from point A to point B, in the sense that there's a lot of waste involved in the tug of war being played by these molecules fighting with each other when they could agree, right from the start. here's the standards for improvement. You win, okay, without the fight. And that becomes more important when we start to get to, the more complex functions that we end up having. So, we're just fish. So I can just say, okay, let's take another big leap, because let's not just waste time going through all this crap about, little squiggly worms, and then the worms get antenna, and then the worms get an eyeball, and then the worms get these different functions because the molecule changes. It copies wrong, and some of the mistakes end up being advantages. And that's simply the rule. The rule is, if if the replicated copy does it better, then it will succeed more at copying itself, and it will become the dominant structure of the chemistry. All right, so eventually, organisms got more complicated, but they were still cellular organisms, okay? So they had organs, they had different pieces, they had different parts, they had different mechanisms that did different things, but it was all in the code of the DNA to make one of these little bacteria or this little squiggly thing, that squirms through the fluid of the ocean. And that stuff eventually evolves into more complex forms, trilobites and this and that, all these, the original insect, the original, cephalopod, the original slug, the original, so you have these base forms, and the base forms eventually, over time, they're competing with each other, but they're not as, they're not after the same things, so they're not competing in the same event, so to speak, so they don't wipe each other out as easily. So the forms inside the interspecies struggles are more decisive winners and losers than the ones outside of the species. But anyway, that's a subtle detail, really unimportant to the story. So anyway, so it's just tools. So it just ends up being the molecule is essentially creating capabilities. So you could just argue that any capability is a tool. So the eyeball thing, the idea of sensing sunlight and doing all these different things would be really important. And the atmosphere it's happening in is that you have the real strong division between the two forms of these DNA molecule are the ones that feed on the sun. That is, they've created a mechanism where they can gain energy to do their chemistry, to create their complexity by just collecting sunlight and use that energy to build their structure. And the size of the plants, and then the animals were the ones that figured out how to eat the plants and steal their energy. So, there's two different tool equipped, prey and predator, was sort of invented. The first form of it, I guess, would be plants and animals. And then there were inside of that, the prey-predator relationship between the plants that fought with each other for territory and the animals that fought with each other for territory. Competed would be the right word. More precise language. Alright, so you have all these, first it's all in the ocean, and then eventually these things crawl out of the water, okay, and they started taking over the land. First the plants and then the animals. And now they're doing the same thing they were doing in the water on the land, which is just constantly competing and constantly changing their shape to meet the current environment. So you can imagine that when the first invaders of a land would be different than the last invader, because the land changes, so the environment changes, so the standards for competitive change. And so the shape of things changes. The mixture of animals changes constantly as the environment evolves, as the Earth goes through different weather cycles, as all that stuff happens, the stuff winning and losing changes. So some of the changes aren't on some linear road to perfection. They're just on a road that says at any one moment, it's going to be to your advantage to be short and fat or tall and thin. You're just reshaping to the current standards of what's going to get you ahead. Water world or desert world. Adaptability, being able to function. And so that would be one of the concepts, would be things just adapting. And adaptation comes in two forms. It comes in physically adapting, that is, growing a hard skin or something, or adapting in the sense that you can modify your function to either or environment, that you can change your color, you can change your stripes, you can change, your physical structure to accommodate a different environment, so you can broaden your survivability because you can withstand whatever change takes place. So even though the world becomes a world where being short and fat is the advantage, you don't have to be, because you have some other way of defeating that new qualifier, that new standard of what your tool enabled. You have tools that enable you to overcome whatever weakness you might have. All right, so they were almost to, so the idea is that's just evolution, okay? So this is an argument you shouldn't have to make to any human being. You shouldn't have to explain, this is where we're really from, this is what made us, this is why we're here, this is why I'm having this conversation, is because I'm a tool-equipped organism, and I have basic senses and basic tools, and I have this much more complex tool of a brain to scheme and organize my conduct in the world. I'm not just knee-jerking. I'm not just mechanically pre-programmed with functionality. I am educated. I have to learn how to interact in the world. I have to learn how the world works. And then I have to acquire the skills to play in that world. And that's part of even this communication thing. You know, I was not very well trained in the use of vocabulary and words. So I use some that offend people and all that kind of stuff. And that's all, you know, not very serviceable. But again, it's a balance thing, because you really are interacting with fundamentally very different people. And there is no language you can speak that really works on all of them. So in some sense, you have to pick and choose who's going to hear your message, because you have to speak a narrower language than you wish to speak. And you have to say things in ways that are, you know, too refined, too simplified, too common denominator. And then they start to lose all their meaning, because you've turned everything into simple mush. And it's not that simple. It's not as simple as the mush you have to turn it into. All right, I'll take a break there, and then we'll get to neurons, because that's really all it is this brain thing for us. Okay, that's the big deal story, what's the big difference, and it's just about the fact that these machines, okay, that just had livers and hearts and stomachs and mouths, and they basically, all of those things functioned in very rudimentary ways. It's almost like something had to bang into their mouth for them to eat it. You know, I mean, it was, you know, they'd see its shadow go by and they would just grab, you know, the reflex would say grab. You know, very simple brains in terms of just very simple reflexes that controlled most organisms for most of the history of life on Earth. And then things got more complicated when stuff like mammals showed up. But it happened first in fish and insects. And, you know, they all have brains, and they all have brains that are learning. And if it's learning, then it's being rewarded and punished. And so it is feeling. And so feelings and thoughts are all, that's the thing. That's why I'm making videos, is because it's about feelings and thoughts. And understanding their role, and understanding how you're being controlled by them, and understanding that the context of it, what its real function is, and how, because of the ideas we've collected, we've created an environment where the existence of the very mechanism is a moot point in a way. It's lost its original function, and now it has this other function of seeking the truth and not just seeking dominance or control or successful reproduction. We're playing a completely different game than that natural game, because of the acquisition of enough of this knowledge stuff to say there's a better game to play in terms of the reflexes, devoting them to a higher purpose than mere gratification of biological system mechanisms that were developed to live in a world millions of years separated from the one we live in a world that didn't have any notion of a decency or ethics or good and bad. All right, so we'll talk about that. All right, so the evolution of the biological machine, sort of the subject, and that's all we are. We're just machines. We just have certain functionalities. We're programmed. We're limited by our exposure to things. You can't play the piano unless you practice, you know, learn how it works, practice, you know, all that kind of crap. We don't do anything freely, okay? We do everything based on a confined programming that happens from the environment we're in. The ingredients mix, and we produce a reaction. But the reaction is just a bunch of simple reflexive reactions. So just as the real universe, okay, is this simple universe just doing the little vibrating electrons and proton thing, okay, the origin of all of our complexity is much simpler mechanisms, and especially the brain. The brain is just a bunch of these knee jerks. It's a bunch of little branches that just switch left, right, on, off. A bunch of triggers that trigger. And they have, depending on how they trigger, in a sense, it's almost like chemistry mixing. They can mix these different things that are a product of. So it's like words that sound alike trigger us, right? You hear the word, I don't know, plum, and you think of scum or some other word that rhymes with it. And then you think of the word, the letter it starts with, and you start thinking of other P words. These are just triggers, okay, that your brain functions on, that it reacts to. So we have these, billions and billions of neurons that are really just saying, let's just have a bunch of reactions, and we can react to millions of different arrangements of these little pixels of interaction. So just like our eyes see things, and they are triggered based on our, based on our maturation. That's what you're doing when you're a little kid. Your brain is recognizing the difference between a circle and a square and a sphere, and it's doing this geometry thing, and then it starts understanding the color thing, and then it starts understanding, the little nuances of triangle versus rectangle, and all of the shapes, the reflections, the nuances of identifying things. And you start identifying, mammal versus reptile versus this and that. And so these are all things that become triggering concepts for you in your brain, and they become symbols. So in my brain, I have a symbol of evolution, which is a tree, with the blood dripping off of it, because the story of the branching is not some joyride, okay? The branching is really expensive. A ton of blood leaks out. So that's my metaphor. That's my symbol. That's a trigger. It's a mixture of the concepts. It might be unique to me. Some people, there have common triggers, lots of common triggers you can have with some other person, or you can have nothing in common in terms of the what you're recognizing in the world as meaningful. It's like as vulgar as that image was just a moment ago in some senses. You can be a boob man or a leg man or a face man or a eyeball man or whatever. You can be triggered by all kinds of different things based on your individual experience in the reward and punishment verse that you grew up in, the place where you had to interact and find a way to swim to the surface, how you learned how to swim in whatever it is you swam in, whatever the streets were. So some people swim in science and intelligence and crossword puzzles and playing chess, and some people swim in, a much grittier, harsher world of people beating each other up and, playing all kinds of, macho struggle games or whatever, and that becomes their world. and that becomes their, what their brain occupies itself with as something worthy of their time here on Earth as a problem to solve. And so that's all the brain is really there to do, is to solve problems. So as biological creatures competing, we're competing for mates. We're competing for food. We're competing for all kinds of things. And in that competition, there's all kinds of balances between what you're risking for what the reward is. So you've constantly got to balance. Is it worth trying to jump across the... Is it worth jumping into the stream full of crocodiles to get to the other side? So I've sort of metaphored that for these gazelles and stuff, because they run into these problems. They're migratory. They have to cross flooded streams full of crocodiles. And they have to muse it over. I mean, they go through the struggle of their own resistance, and they have to wait for something to become strong enough to dominate, to say, okay, they have to be triggered. There has to be a final event that takes place that triggers them to have the courage, or whatever, the ignorance, the foolish notioning, to decide that it's time. I have to try to get across, but I'll starve to death if I don't. That kind of thing. The compulsion has to become strong enough to push. And so that's all the brain is doing all the time, is just trying to balance all of this crap we're sitting in, and what kind of crappy issues you have, you know, whether you have some sort of personal health problem, then that's your, how do I get around this? How do I navigate it? You know, all that kind of stuff. You have some financial problems, you have, just living on earth problems, you have neighbor problems, you have, you know, there's all kinds of little problems, and you have to find ways to navigate these problems. And that's what the brain is there to do. And unfortunately, it doesn't do it very, you know, we haven't been able to make enough separation from the part of us that's still the million-year-old animal. And the million-year-old animal says, just pick up a club and smash the fucker. Its reflexes are to motivate you into action, and there's no action you can do here. There's none of those triggers of panic are the fight or flight response. You don't need to, you know, fight in a physical way, and your body thinks you do. It takes all of these problems as if they're physically solvable, when they have to be solved by words, or they have to be solved by some other scheme. And that's what just makes our lives so complicated, is that the body is compelling one thing, and it's exactly the opposite of what you need, which is the capacity to be relaxed and to think clearly. And your brain is almost forcing you to think poorly, okay, by overreacting emotionally and all of this other crap. And, you know, the fight becomes, it just accelerates out of control, based on the fact that there's less and less reasoning involved and more feelings involved. And so it's road rage, or whatever you want to call it. You know, we all, I think, have the common experience of saying, I'm not going to overreact, and then the circumstance happens and you overreact. I mean, you know, it's just so hard to suppress that instinct to fight. And fight, and like I said, the body wants to fight in a just an aggressive way, rather than in a careful way. So that's a little bit of a nuanced subject about psychology, and I don't think that's necessarily where I wanted to take this. So the brain is just a scheming tool. It's just a tool for associating things with things. It remembers that certain strategy worked in one circumstance. So if you can find the commonality between this circumstance and that circumstance, you can apply that strategy. You can watch other people succeed and fail. You can do there's lots of ways for you to learn how to play the game. If you were obligated to, to save your life, okay, but you had to go out and play golf, and you had to play it well enough to beat some standard, okay, or you're going to get shot in the head. Well, you'd very quickly try to figure out, well, what's the mechanism? How do I play this game? How do I do this? What's the most efficient way I can do it the quickest, get the ball down the field and, put it in a little hole. And your brain can do that. it can watch somebody else, it can see what they do, it can, and it can mimic it and copy it and use it as a strategy and apply it, and it'll work. So I'll take another pause and see if I can reground this in the point, in the direction I wish to point it in. The point is that, we're experiencing our lives, and that's, a little bit the tricky part, because we get caught in these habits and patterns and habits, I guess is the right word, and so it narrows, our capacity to advance and to be able to play the more sophisticated game, because we're sort of stuck playing, personal games rather than the game of understanding, and applying, judgment to, time, thinking time, to understanding what the big game is basically saying is this is a terribly trivial and cruel and stupid and wasteful game that we're involved in. And so the simple conclusion is don't do it. Don't play that game. Do what you can with your existence. Be as useful as you can. But don't get caught up playing a game that will have future consequences that are just jeopardy and just waste. This isn't the direct path to that, but the point is that evolution is terribly wasteful. That's sort of something I wish to emphasize out of this somewhere, but I just didn't get to that part. But you can see it in the world. Many more losers for winners. The DNA molecule is very, very unfair in terms of, it destroys things for stupid reasons. The competition is so sloppy. The good don't win. Deserve has little to do with it. All of those good reasons to stay away from any notion of saying, let's make more of these things to robotically react and go through this process of, it's rather pointless, because if you do it intelligently, the intelligence just screams, bullshit, it's all just nonsense. Everything you care about for stupid, because your liver cares, because some chemical cares, in terms of, your structure has been built that way to make you care, make you need and want and desire and all this crap. And all of that is not conducive to you functioning in the world in any productive way, because it just makes you selfish and stupid and reckless, especially with other people's welfare. All right. Well, something like that. we'll get there eventually. All right, some kind of sum up. All right, so the truth is just not a great story. Being intelligent isn't going to be fun, because, the facts don't add up to some kind of, everything's just fine and you're doing great. It just doesn't come out that way. It comes out where you just realize you're just another crocodile. the crocodile or the shark is a good example of just how, because it's more obvious of how much, how expensive the existence is. So here the winner, the shark is winning, and he's overtly causing the losers. I mean, it's such a direct relationship. So in some cases, you can pretend you didn't make the other person fail. In some cases, you can, delude yourself into thinking it's for free and you didn't have anything to do with, playing a competitive game. You won, you didn't make any loser. But everything you do, as I've pointed out in other videos, every girl you date, every decision you make affects other people who, would have had a better life if you didn't get in the way. Just a fact. And, you could just say every you know, the clothes you wear, everything has tied to it. Some person killed by it, you know, breathing in fibers, and they're dead at 25 or something. Yeah, you don't get the, you don't see the direct threads to that fate, but they're there. The fact is, that's the price paid for it. So, you know, because you don't see or feel their pain, you can pretend it doesn't exist and that this ain't so bad. When, no, it's really bad if you have to be the prey, you know, and you're not the predator. So it just depends on the fact of just understanding that. And like I said, there's nothing going to be pleasant about understanding just how expensive your existence has been and will be, and any future person's existence is and will be, and that you're just setting it all up for, you know, catastrophic style failures in the future, just because you have so, you know, most people have so little regard for the civilization they're in, and doing anything sensible about preserving it or enhancing it or making it better. And they have all kinds of retarded and silly and frivolous and nonsensical systems, you know. And the basics aren't going to get taken care of. And that'll be very expensive in the future. Like the basics of just having a stable environment. the whole global warming thing and all of that crap it's a real problem. And, they're just pretending because they can keep pushing it off, a little further into the future, that it's not a problem, just like the debt and all the other stuff. They just pretend that there'll be no payday, they'll never have to pay for it. And that cholera is coming. It'll be here eventually, and it's going to be a high price paid for that relaxed, glib, silly, frivolous optimism. I'm just saying the basic, if you take the facts as they are of what the universe is doing, it's just making machines. We're just machines. We're very robotic. We're very mechanical. We're not doing anything magical or special. We're not tapping into the spiritual blah, blah, blahs or any other kind of bullshit. We're need machines, and that's all. And it's waste is what we are. We're wasteful. And we're expensive, and it's way too expensive. The downside horrors are so substantial that no reasonable person would impose them on anything they cared about. if you love something, you wouldn't give it cancer. but that's what you're doing. You're imposing fates that you wouldn't wish to live yourself and all of that. And it's just ridiculous that you even have to have this conversation, that you have to explain to other people just how brutal and cruel the whole biological system is and how insanely wasteful. I mean, some organisms on this planet, like sophisticated ones, like even, octopuses are supposed to be fairly intelligent organisms. They have 10,000 children, 10,000, and they get wiped out. The attrition rate is insane. 99.99999% of them will die quickly and brutally. And they have, they're real, they're born little octopuses, little brains all working, blah, blah, blah. They're all ready to learn how to play the piano. And, they're just going to meet with a horrible end. That's the world. And I've used the sea turtle example, 10,000, in the lifetime of a turtle, easily. It could be many more than that. 40,000 eggs, 50,000. Two survivors to maturity. I mean, come on. you know, it's almost like, well, gee, I could make it worse, but, you know, do I, you know, isn't this, you know, aren't we already close enough to infinitely bad to say that's bad enough? Forget it. It doesn't work. This is not a good idea. It's not a good system. It's not a good game to play. Quit playing it. Yeah. But anyway, I'm just saying, it's, you know, the facts seem to me, you know, irrefutable, that that's what's happening on Earth. It's about evolution. And it's not a good story. And it's just horrible. It's a horrible story. It's just, you can't even absorb the horror. It's on such a huge, gigantic, monstrous scale. And it's happening right now in front of us. It's, you know, I keep talking about the feral cats just because it's just such a, you know, there's, you know, it's almost like there's almost, there's, yes, there are other animals, you know, you could torment and torture that would be difficult to watch. But kittens are just so, you know, to see them with little targets, you know, to see them just waiting for the day they're going to get squished and, you know, something's going to rip them to pieces. No, intelligence can't do that. Intelligent being can't sit there and just say, that's okay. That's an acceptable price to pay. Can't be done. So you have to be some kind of moron if you've rationalized excuses for all of this horror. You're an idiot. You know, because you can't do it if you're smart. If you're smart, you know that I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't impose that. I wouldn't create. I can't. There's no way to make it make any sense. The waste is so obvious and grotesque. Oof. All right. So that's enough. Anyway. So, again, not the video I intended exactly, but, you know, whatever. It's close enough. If at minimum it's an explanation of why I believe what I believe, is just because the facts, look, you know, just all this little evolution stuff. Look at that moth. I mean, it's just clearly mechanically played the game. It's so overtly just playing the game, okay? It's mechanically built and structured to play the hide from the predators game, okay? And, you know, every organism has a niche, and it's, you know, it's gaining tooled advantages. So the tool can be your intelligence, or the tool can be your change of color. You know, the tool can be lots of different tools that the different organisms have. And here we are with the benefit of having this intelligent tool, this scheming tool, and what we can scheme about is the truth. We can scheme our way to the truth. You know, we can use our brain to engineer a model of the truth and understand the facts of our existence and what the fuck got us here and what the fuck we're doing here. And we can understand it for what it is, you know, as a fact, or you can make up bullshit and lies and nonsense because it feels better. And I'm just saying that the choosing to be stupid, well, you can't really choose to be ignorant. So it's worse than that. I mean, you're choosing to deny the truth, to cling to hope and self-comforting fairy tales. I mean, that's just mean. You know, that's some worse crime than, whoops, I just never realized. You know, if you're running from the truth, that's a crime. All right, so, yeah. All right, I'll just say that's enough. Yeah, so that's enough. All right, so, till the next time and such. Of course, Google's evil, everything's, you know, crappy and shitty, far below acceptable standards for, I again will argue, anybody smart is going to say, ooh, this isn't good enough. And only the morons, the stupid, the selfish cheaters, the, you know, I don't know the right word for when you're cheating your own capacity to do logic, you know, and denying its function out of desperate desire to justify yourself or to make yourself feel better. I mean, that's just, creepy. But anyway, it is a fact of human character, unfortunately. Humans don't have much character. They don't have a whole... in spite of all the shows, too, they've created all these hero shows, like the Lone Ranger and all this. You know, they idolize the hero. They idolize the person that does have this thing called integrity, that does fight for right and does do all these things. And yet, so few people have any instinct. You know, they don't have any... they don't demonstrate any of that in their fight for the truth. That's curious. It's all okay when it's a fantasy, but if they had to actually do the... if they had to do it where it counts, I guess that's what the part... It's easy to be, you know, it's easy to clean up the easy messes. You know, it's the hard ones that they're running from. The ones that'll, you know, be a lot more taxing than given the simple task. I do it myself. I mean, everybody in their life probably picks... I enjoy working, okay? But, yeah, I like tasks that aren't too complicated, that don't present a whole big risk of failure. I mean, I don't like having too much pressure put on me in terms of somebody else's welfare is dependent on what I do or something. So I'll pick easy tasks, you know, hammer a nail into a piece of wood or... you know, plant a plant or some other kind of simple task that doesn't carry any of that complex risk. So I am, in some respects, also, it's, you know, some parts of my life, my cowardice shows in terms of wanting it simple and easy. Yuck. Yeah, the truth really does suck.